Welcome to the Paleo View. I'm Stacey Toth of PaleoParents.com. You might also know me as the Broth Lady, or the inventor of the hashtag More Vegetables Than a Vegetarian. I'm the co-author of several paleo cookbooks, including Eat Like a Dinosaur, Beyond Bacon, and the upcoming Real Life Paleo. I like to talk about health at any size, and self-love, and personal acceptance. Specifically, I have a love for lifting heavy things. If you're interested in finding more out about that, you can also find me on Strong Woman Radio.
And I'm Dr. Sarah Ballantyne of ThePaleoMom.com. I'm the New York Times best-selling author of The Paleo Approach and The Paleo Approach Cookbook. I'm passionate about nutrient density and the intersection of diet and lifestyle with health, which really means I just love talking about science.
News and Views, where Sarah and I catch up and you get to listen to our gossip. So today on the Paleo View, I know last week I wasn't sure what we were doing. That was because I am in some sort of book finishing stupor.
When we finished recording, I was like, "Duh, we have a special guest next week." Like, I didn't want to say anything because in my calendar, maybe something happened and I don't know about it. And I didn't want to like put you on the spot on the show, but then.
But yeah. Duh, my good friend and awesome superstar guest, Danielle Walker, is back on the Paleo View. Welcome, Danielle.
Thank you. Thanks for forgetting about me. I understand.
Well, in our little pre-chat.
I understand, you know.
Yeah, in our little pre-chat of the show, I don't know how much I'll go into the blooper section, but we started out by saying, okay, just to warn everybody, my book goes to print tomorrow, and Sarah and Danielle were like, say no more. It is a, for those of you who haven't heard the 18 podcasts that we have about finishing books, the last, like, 2 to 4 weeks are really, really awful. Like, they're no fun at all. But the last 48 hours, like, almost kill you. I don't know what this process is, but it's terrifying. So, And then on top of it, I went to Florida this weekend with my mom, because my mom booked us tickets to go to Tampa to a tattoo convention for my birthday present. And it's just the most inconvenient time of all time.
The worst is you probably might have thought that it was convenient, but then your book took longer.
And yes, so exactly.
You planned.
Yes.
You know, I'm like, that's how it always is for me. So you say 2 to 4 weeks, it's like 2 to 4 weeks, but then add like another couple weeks after that.
Well, that's what I mean. You think it's 2 weeks, but then it's always 4 weeks.
I booked my trip to Canada this summer. Talked to Erish, our publisher, and I said, okay, what's our print date? So he gave me the date. And I said, no, what's our real print date? So he gave me the date. And I said, no. What's like the real, real print date? Like the date that's like, we can't go past it or the book doesn't get printed on time. So he gave me that date. I booked my ticket for, 2 days after that final date that he gave me. And then it went to print 11 days into my week-long vacation.
Oh.
And it was just,
there's just no good way to plan it.
No, and I think it's like the typical experience.
Yeah. So I'm not going to complain. I feel really lucky. This book is turning out amazing, and I'm super excited to talk about it once it's done and over and I've had some sleep. But in the meantime, Danielle's here to talk about her book, which she did finish and is amazing. Meals Made Simple came when I was at the Ancestral Health Symposium, I think, a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago. And when I was, Danielle was like, did you see my book yet? I was like, no, it's at home. I don't know. So when I finally got home and got to look through it, I just thought that there were a lot of things that you did in that book that I thought were really smart and really clever about telling people how to make cooking easier in their lives. Like for me, that book, I kind of expected just to be a simple paleo cooking book. Like, okay, mostly 5 ingredients or less, or mostly, not take a lot of time to prep. But I thought that you did a fantastic job kind of going into, a more thoughtful approach to simplifying the cooking process. So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself? And by the way, if you don't know who Danielle is, you must be living under a rock. Her blog, Against All Grain, is crazy awesome, huge. And she's got a fantastic transformation story about how coming to a grain-free lifestyle through SCD and now living paleo improved her health dramatically. And I mean, like hospitalization dramatics. And now is a fantastic food blogger who appeals across kind of all thresholds in a way that I think like Sarah and I have, you know, approach this from like a paleo viewpoint. You know, we know about GAPS and we know about SCD, but I know, you know, from people with Danielle, if you're interested in learning more about SCD, certainly there's a lot of SCD friendly stuff on her blog, so you can check that out. But also she's been on several of our podcasts previously. So if you want to go back and listen to some of those, I don't even remember which ones you were on, Danielle. I'm really sorry. We're like
That's
at
okay.
200 podcasts or something.
I know.
Insane. I don't know.
Crazy. I know. I was, and it was back kind of when you first started too, I think. And I remember you said I was like the most frequent guest. You may as well call me a co-host. It was fun. It was actually before we got on, I was thinking about all the different places I've been when I've been on, and we were living in Hawaii, I think, when we did the first one, and I had to like close myself up in a closet.
Upstairs. Oh, you did! I remember that.
So that you couldn't hear the craziness of my 2-year-old and going on downstairs. yeah, no, I have lots of fond memories of being on here with you guys. I don't exactly remember the topics either, to be quite honest. But I'll have to go back through and listen to some of them to be refreshed.
Yeah. So
I seem to remember talking about napping at some point.
Oh, maybe.
I'm pretty sure.
I think that
we had a discussion about napping.
She was on for like a children one where she talked about that being really important. I do remember that, Sarah. And she might have been on about AIP because you have an autoimmune condition.
Yeah.
But there are lots of podcasts, and I'm sure Monica will put them in the show notes for people. But anyway, why don't you tell people a little bit about yourself, your blog, and then your new book, and kind of maybe you could get into a little like explanation of some of those additional thoughtful details that you put into the cookbook to kind of, you know, be a little more than just the standard it's a quick recipe kind of approach.
Yeah. So my blog is Against All Grain, as you already mentioned. And I started it in 2009-ish, 2010, I think, after being diagnosed with an autoimmune disease in 2007, which is ulcerative colitis, which most people are not as familiar with. But when I say it's kind of similar to Crohn's disease, that's usually when they say, oh, yeah, I know what that is, or I know someone that has it. It's not a very glamorous disease. no, I guess no autoimmune diseases are. But I was 22 and went through the whole major medications, the massive doses of steroids. I was on 100 milligrams at one point, and was very, very close to starting immunosuppressant IV drugs, one called Remicade, and so close, like papers signed, appointments made at the hospital, ready to do it as much as we tried to avoid it for so long, but I was so, so sick. And so then I had heard about SCD, the specific carbohydrate diet, and decided that it was kind of our last ditch effort before going into that major medication world. And just figured, you know, it's just food and I may as well give it a shot. And if it doesn't work after a month, then I, you know, go and do those drugs. And if it does, then great. And I was able to avoid the drugs. And all I did was, you know, change some food as opposed to adding more and more medications. So it was almost immediate. And, you know, at that time it was kind of pre-paleo, before it got big, and then certainly pre the whole autoimmune diet. But I worked with a naturopath who did an elimination diet that pretty much looked kind of like AIP. Based on my results, and you know, I cut out the eggs and the nuts and the seeds, and was already off grains and dairy, and so I just noticed immediate improvement. And that was kind of what sparked me wanting to continue doing my blog. And I was just, you know, going through so many trials myself of trying to cook and relearn how to cook. And so I started my blog and then put out my first cookbook about a year ago. It was July of 2013. And then the second one that just came out a couple of weeks ago is called Meals Made Simple. So my first book is kind of the comprehensive, you know, paleo cooking with the sweets in there and the breakfasts and the beverages and just kind of everything. And what I always tell people is I kind of wanted that book to be a sigh of relief for people who felt like I did when I first switched. I mean, I was really young, I was newly married, and you know, I just always felt like, oh gosh, I'm never going to be able to enjoy food again. And so I didn't want anyone to feel like that. So that first book was kind of that, here, you know, you can look at this, you can enjoy food, you can make a lemon meringue pie for a special occasion, you can have, you know, lasagna that's dairy free and things like that, that people kind of hold memories with of family. And but what I heard so frequently from people was, you know, I really need just more simplicity in it to make this more sustainable, and I need more weeknight meals. And so I knew that that would be my second book. But like you said, you know, I didn't want to put out a book of 5 ingredient or less or 20-minute meals, because you can find those all over the place. You know, I mean, there's things that are naturally paleo that are 5 ingredients or less. What I wanted to do was try to still recreate some of those favorites with a lot of the same flavors and textures as, you know, people loved and might be missing, but then add the piece to it of just kind of the unknown, you know, because I think that's what can be so overwhelming for people when they first switch their diets, is just, what am I going to make every night, you know, and how do I get away from making the same thing every night? And for, you know, to continue to keep things exciting at the dinner table and keep new things rotating through. And then I think as a food blogger, and you guys know this, you know, we get so many questions, about substitutions, or about, you know, if I don't have this type of pan, what can I use? Or, you know, this looks this way and what do I do? And so what I've learned with writing my books is to try to anticipate the questions that might come as people are reading the recipes. And I include, I call them tidbits at the bottom of every recipe. And it's kind of just, you know, the questions that most people will have, I try to answer them immediately there so they can kind of have it all in one place, and it prevents, you know, waste. and then the next thing that I felt like people really needed were kind of the meal plans and the grocery lists. I know for me, when I first started, if I went into the grocery store without a plan, I'd end up, you know, grabbing things that I probably shouldn't eat, or I'd get too much of something because I would, you know, get all excited about seeing a great produce or a great cut of meat, and then it would end up sitting in my refrigerator, you know, past its date of freshness. And so I wanted to try to take some of that out of it for people as well, of giving them grocery lists that go with, you know, I have 8 weeks of meal plans in there. And then there's grocery lists that combine the different things that you might need. And it also helps to minimize the waste, you know, so that if you're cracking open a can of coconut milk for a recipe on Monday, and you only use half, you know, it doesn't end up sitting in the back of your refrigerator, spoiling, you know, before you're able to use it, but that you get to use it in maybe night three or night four's meal, so that you kind of use it up. And it's kind of the same for some of the herbs and things like that that end up going wasted in your refrigerator. And so that actually helps ultimately save you money, so that there's less waste in your refrigerator. But it also kind of gives you a plan for the week so that it's less overwhelming for people. And then I think probably the last part of the book, of kind of this whole element of simplicity, is the what I call stretch it meals, or morph it meals. But you know, I have you do things like make extra. So I have a slow cooker braised pork shoulder, and it calls for a 5-pound pork shoulder, you know, and most of the recipes try to serve kind of a 4 to 6 range. But that way you have extra, and then I have you use it again. So I have you do put it into a pork ragu, over butternut squash noodles, or you can make a Cuban pork quesadilla, or actually a panini, cause there's no cheese in it, but, the next night. So you're not just pulling out leftovers from the fridge, you know, that get mundane, but you're actually getting to utilize them in something completely different, which keeps kind of that element of exciting food coming to your table without getting bored. Because I think when people get bored, when they've switched their lifestyles, kind of when they tend to want to drift back, you know, into what they know and what's comfortable. So that's kind of it in a nutshell.
I think it's so brilliant because I'm a person who just like by nature does not reinvent leftovers. Mm-hmm. Like I'm just, I mean, we eat a lot of leftovers. Like I tend to, when I cook at least two meals worth, if not three or four. But other than like, we'll always run out of the side dishes,
right,
you know, early. So I always have to like, then I'll make some different kind of side dish. But we just then like, we'll reheat whatever that meat was over and over again. And nobody in my family complains about it. I think I'm kind of a creature of habit. So I enjoy it, but I've never been the kind of person to be like, hey, I have 3 pounds of leftover meat. What can I do with this to make it something different for supper tomorrow night? And I think, I just think it's amazing when people can think so creatively like that, because it's a very, very different way of thinking about recipes and thinking about meal preparation than what I normally do. So I just think it's really innovative and really cool. And I think from my perspective, it's because it's not a skill that I have, it feels like something that's really, really special information to be sharing with people.
Oh, thanks. Well, at least you used your leftovers. My biggest problem was that leftovers would get stuck in the corner in the back of the refrigerator. And then I would pull them out and hate to waste it. And so, you know, you like do the sniff test and you're like, oh, how many days has this been? I don't remember when I made it. I don't want to throw it in the trash, you know? So, and you'd like take that risk. So that was kind of my way of preventing that. And because I know lots of people who just have, I think there's a stigma attached to leftovers, you know, and they just do not like them. But with, you know, I'm only cooking for two plus a little one. And so we always have leftovers. And so it was kind of a way to keep things exciting. So thanks. I appreciate that you think that's exciting. I also tried to do a lot more slow cooker and, you know, there are definitely 30-minute meals, and kind of some one pot stuff and just, you know, there's a lot that comes with the word simple. It doesn't have to mean, you know, five ingredient kind of boring, similar meals that you're used to all the time. So
I think it's awesome. I think we all have this, or we have at least a few recipes when we're working on a book that are like the biggest surprises to us in terms of the finished. Like we're like, I had a few recipes where I shouldn't admit to things like this, but I would like taste it. And there was a couple of times where I just went, I'm a genius. And there's a few recipes in the Paleo Approach cookbook that they had that moment when the moment that I made that, it was like the best thing I'd ever eaten. What are your recipes from Meal Made Simple that are your I'm a genius recipes?
Oh man. Gosh, that's kind of a hard question to ask.
it's okay if you say all of them.
I know, you're right. You're like, I want to be humble, but all of them. No. there's a few. So I think anytime I make a sauce that's supposed to resemble cheese with cashews, I'm always a little skeptical, no matter how many times I've done it and actually seen it turn out. I'm always a little skeptical. So there's two in here. The chicken and rice casserole that uses cauliflower, of course, was one of those things that I pulled it out and I was like, oh my gosh, it tastes like Campbell's cream of mushroom soup, which is what my mom used to use all the time when I was growing up. So that I was like, wow, okay, I got it. I got the flavors. And kind of similarly, actually, the beef stroganoff was one of those things that I loved growing up. And it had sour cream in it. And it, of course, had, you know, canned soups. And that's how my mom made it. And I didn't think I'd ever be able to enjoy it again. And those two probably were two of the most surprising ones, you know, where you're like, I don't know if this is going to work. And then we tried it and it was good. So that was good.
And now I have my recipe for later in the week. So. Really sneaky question.
Yeah. So those probably were a couple of them, I would say. You know, I love anything that goes in the slow cooker. My husband's kind of the same. He loves like a really tender kind of cut of meat that falls off the bone. So those were always winners for us. But yeah, I love everything in here just because it's simple, you know, and obviously I wouldn't put it in the book if I didn't love it. So it's kind of hard to ask the author that, but.
Well, I think another thing that You did. That was really smart. That I know Sarah and I try to do and sometimes struggle with coming up with recipes for is making a lot of not free recipes in this book. Yeah. So maybe you could talk a little bit about, you know, kind of how you decided to change your approach to sweets a little bit and accommodate kind of a different mm-hmm. need in this book.
Yeah. Well, yes, if you have my first one, you know that it's pretty heavily relies on almond flour and coconut flour. And that's just, you know, I think we all always say we're always evolving. And when I first started eating this way in 2000, gosh, I don't even remember when it was that I all switched. I think it was about 2008 to early 2009. There wasn't very much out there. And, you know, I mean, Alana's Pantry was a huge website that I looked to. And at that point she was using all almond flour and that was kind of just what I defaulted to. And as time has gone on, you know, I'm starting to learn about different flours and then of course, again, back to the blog and to my fans is that I just get so many substitution questions. And, you know, while it can be somewhat frustrating that you spent so much time creating a recipe and then everyone's asking you to completely change it, at the same time, it also makes you really aware that there are so many allergies and there's, you know, so many intolerances out there. And then, with the nut-free, you know, my son started, preschool and the school's completely nut-free. And, so that was one of the other things, 'cause I was like, well, gosh, you know, what am I going to send him with for treats? And so I kind of wanted to focus with this one of just doing most of the sweet section, nut-free. And some of them are coconut-free as well, because to my surprise, which I just wasn't aware of back then, you know, there's a lot of people that are intolerant to coconut as well. And so I started playing with seeds mostly, and, you know, I definitely want to get into some of what Sarah does too later with the plantain flour. And I want to start, you know, experimenting with sweet potato flour. And there's all sorts of flours now. I actually just heard about one. Sorry, total tangent. But
we love tangents.
I know you do. I know. I'm like, our conversations when we're together, right? It's like every which way.
And you don't need to apologize.
But I read about something about using like the, I'm probably quote this wrong, but it was something about using the remnants of winemaking, like the, I don't know if it's the grape must or whatever it is. And it's a flour that they're starting to use in gluten-free. So I'm like, wow, there's just always new things coming out. So I wanted to challenge myself to try to do some new things. Arrowroot was kind of one of those things that I didn't touch before because of SCD. And I just kind of felt like it was kind of a useless carbohydrate without nutritional value, but it really does some wonders for baked goods, especially when you have to cut out the nuts. And it just adds so much elasticity to things. And so I still try to use it sparingly, but it's definitely used in some of the baked goods in here to keep them nut and coconut free. But yeah, the granola, one of my granola is like one of the things that I'm kind of known for, along with, of course, Stacey, my chocolate chip cookies.
I was going to say, because I'm pretty sure when you came to visit, I think the one thing I was like, Danielle, I'll feed you and take care of you. Can you make granola?
And I totally didn't, did I? But I think I brought you a little jar.
We soaked it. We just didn't get to the rest of it. And we ended up making it after you were gone. But we felt a little more educated, at least, on how to make, because... to tangent on your tangent, the reason I specifically asked you to make granola, because we make a granola and our granola is one of our most popular recipes too. And I felt like, oh, I don't need to try anybody else's granola because our granola is the bomb. And then we were standing in line one day at Paleo FX at the barbecue truck and the line was like 2 hours long and we were all starving to death. And you pulled out a bag of granola and we were all like, hey, will you share your granola? And the whole group of us, all paleo food bloggers, are all like, okay, Danielle, you win the granola award. Like, none of us can even say we have good granola anymore. So, but I hadn't been brave enough to try it myself because it was steps that I wasn't used to. So when you were here, I was like, okay, I need an education on.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. You know, and it's always good to hear those things because you do. We try to keep it as simple as possible, but there are certain steps when you're trying to recreate that like texture that, you know, yes, it might be a little extra work, but I always say it's like, the labor of love, but yeah, soaking and dehydrating, but really it is simple. It just looks a little bit more intimidating, I think. And yes, the end product I think is what gets it for you. But the nut-free granola in here, I do have you just actually put them in the oven. So there's no dehydrator involved. Now, of course you can soak everything and dehydrate it first, which, you know, helps with the digestion. But I wanted to try to make this simple to go with the book. But I used all nuts, so I kind of went off of my one that you were talking about that you love so much. That's like four different nuts in there, and did seeds in this one. So there's chia and there's, pumpkin, well, raw pepitas, and sunflower seeds and sesame seeds. And it gets, you know, just as crispy, and everybody that's nut-free that's been trying it so far has been loving it. And I tell them, you know, if you can tolerate coconut, throw some unsweetened shredded coconut in there and raisins, and, you know, we eat it with blueberries on top. And I mostly just eat it as a snack, but when we're really kind of craving that like cereal where you sit down in the morning to a cold bowl of quote unquote cereal, you know, we put a little almond milk on it and it totally does the trick.
Awesome. Well, yeah. I might need to try that. If you're saying that it has a similar texture without dehydrating and is seed-based, that'd be good for the boys to take to, because our boys also have a nut free school situation. So they'd probably like that because they love trail mix at home, but can't take it to school. So.
Right. I know. It's so hard. Yeah, you know, I totally understand it. Because I get the allergy thing, obviously, as we all struggle with grains and dairy, but it's tough.
Yeah, my youngest school was not nut-free last year. She's at the same preschool, and they changed to nut-free this year. And I haven't asked why, if it's just a policy thing or if they've got some student now who's, you know, really allergic. But it's definitely made packing lunches more complicated.
Yeah.
And I just have to, I don't know, it's that extra bit of thought required. Sometimes I don't even think, oh wait, that thing has tree nuts in it.
Right.
So yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah, we had to have a long talk with the teachers about, okay, you know, this is how we eat. Everything that we eat has nuts in it.
Yeah.
We're going to work around that. We're going to label things sunflower seed butter or made with sunflower seed. If it looks like peanut, it's not. We don't ever eat peanuts. You know, like, we had to have that conversation because it's the teachers are trying to be diligent and make sure that the children who have life-threatening allergies aren't put in danger, which I totally understand. But at the same time, if I've put sun butter in my kid's lunch, I want to make sure that they're not hungry because it was taken away. So there is that, you know.
You're specifically asked to send in a note with our kids if we put, you know, a peanut or nut substitute, you know, something like sun butter in the lunch to let them know that it's not a nut or a peanut.
Yeah, we're just venturing into this world, so it's been interesting. This is his second year, but he was only there for just a couple hours a week last year, so it's interesting. Unfortunately, our preschool has a rule where you're actually not allowed to send in anything homemade for snacks.
Oh, wow.
It has to all be packaged because they have to be able to check the package to make sure it was made in a nut-free facility, so that creates a bit more of a problem, but right now he still comes home for lunch because he's done at 11:30. So I'm still in that like zone where I don't have to be as concerned, besides for his snack every day. So I know next year will be a lot more of a trial, and I'm sure my fans will be happy to see some more lunchbox ideas. Cause right now they ask me for them all the time. I'm like, I don't really pack lunches yet. I'm going to try, but I'm not the best to give you advice. So
you can refer them. You can refer them.
That's what I say. I'm like, go to the moms, go to, you know, there's all a lot of different websites. So
we just came out with an ebook to answer just those questions. Cause I too have been being asked for a long time. So you can tell them, check out Paleo2Go. We address allergens. We address lunchboxes and containers and all the things that everybody is always asking questions about. I'm like, here, this is what we do.
Keep it all in one place.
Yes, exactly. So what is something that you haven't told anybody about the book yet? Oh, like, gosh. What major catastrophe? Have you heard our story about how Matt set himself on fire for Beyond Bacon?
I did.
So
I remember that.
what is your epic haven't told anybody story about Meals Made Simple?
Oh man, that's a great question, and I honestly I'm like, I don't know. I'm like gonna flip through the book to see if it triggers my memory of something that went really, really wrong. well, besides that, we had some major printer issues. with some coloration problems that has been plaguing me for the past like month and a half. Otherwise, honestly, you're going to like roll your eyes and be like, I hate you, but I don't think I had any major catastrophes. It was a really smooth process. Yeah, it was smooth, except for towards the end. The last few weeks, we were dealing with a pretty serious family tragedy. So, which most people are aware of, and you guys are. But we lost our daughter, and I finished the book. Actually, finished the book while in labor, which is pretty insane. But I went back and forth about whether or not to put it out and to wait, and decided that it would honor her life the best if we did. So that would probably be the major catastrophe, honestly. The last couple of weeks, I cooked to get it done. I did like 7 recipes a day for a good few days to try to just bang it out. And so that's probably the biggest craziness of it, but I didn't have any, I think because it's kind of just meals, you know, I wasn't doing anything crazy and using like, I don't know, dry ice to make ice cream or anything where I could potentially injure myself. Everything went pretty smoothly.
Wait, now I want to try making ice cream with dry ice.
I don't, can you even do that? I think you can. I think there's a place in San Francisco that does it. And that's why I said that. But
yeah. I've had it at a restaurant here in this area. So
there you go. Okay. So yeah.
Well, I think it's a testament to the meals actually being simple then if you didn't have any meal catastrophes. And for our listeners, we were trying not to go there. So sorry I took you there, Danielle.
That's okay.
But if people want more information, I know that your story and in more information if people want to find it is on your blog, and you've been very open, and I know it's been very helpful for people for you to share that story, and we don't want to get into it with you because we know that's, first of all, that's not what you're here for, but also that it is, you know, still it's painful for all of us, so sorry that
No, I went there. I could have chosen not to.
Okay. So, Sarah, do you have any questions?
Oh, you're going to put it on me now?
Okay, so I'll put it on you to ask one final question, because as we discussed earlier, I am off to finish our book. And although I would love to continue to chat with Danielle, I would also like to not be up until 4 a.m. with the publishers.
So can I ask the most annoying question that we all get all the time and that is just so horrible it makes everybody cringe?
Oh, I'm scared. Yes. Can I answer no comment?
Yes, of course you can. So the question is, what's your next project?
Oh, that's funny. Okay, I can answer that one. I'm like, oh boy, what's this going to be? I don't know. There's lots of projects, which I'm excited to say, because, you know, with everything we've been going through, it is nice to have things on the horizon that we can kind of look forward to. And so the first thing is that I'm going on tour. I've done a few stops, but we're doing, I think, 20 cities. So that's kind of the next project that's going to be long-term for a while. But, I am, going to be really ramping up my YouTube channel, which I'm really excited about. It's been something that I've been wanting to do for a really long time that I just haven't done. So you will be seeing lots and lots.
Can I tell videos. People about my inside scoop on that?
Yeah, of course.
So when I went to San Francisco last month, I was super stoked to get to visit Danielle's new home, and she is in the process of renovating what I guess is like a separate, what do they call those, detached garage.
Yep.
Yeah, with it's got like a built-out space from it that she's turning into a studio to make cooking videos. And I personally have seen you like on video, and I've seen you in person, and I can't wait to see you on video. I think it's going to be awesome. And seeing the space and kind of how you were telling me you envision it and having your own studio, I think that that's fantastic for people. So that's super exciting.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't think, you know, I didn't realize, and I don't think people realize how much work goes into making videos. You know, I mean, it's enough to create the recipes and to blog about it, but having to get yourself ready, having to get your space ready, get cameras and lighting and editing and all of that, it's definitely a little, it's been overwhelming for me in the past. So, you know, I'm excited about the studio space because it will kind of be designated for that. And I won't have to worry about cleaning up the toys and the mess and all the stuff before I'm ready to film and getting cameras set up. And I definitely love doing it. I did some videos and some cooking classes with a company called Taste Made on YouTube last year. And it was so much fun and I loved it. And every time I've done video, it kind of is definitely really life-giving to me and I love doing it. So I'm excited. That's kind of the next big project. We were talking before the show about all of our future book endeavors. And I think I will be taking a break for a little while after these first two until I write another one. But eventually, I definitely like writing books. So I will put one out eventually, but I'm not committing to any time.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And Sarah's been doing some sneaky sharing of not specific information on her Instagram. So I think she's familiar with what you're talking about in terms of complication and preparation.
Yeah. Yes. Very complicated. Yeah, very time consuming. Very rewarding.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, that's kind of next. So YouTube and then, everyone always asks what I want to do long-term and definitely am hoping to have a show at some point. So we'll see that there's a few things that are in talks, but I don't know if any of it will actually play out, but that would be long-term projects for me.
That's awesome. Very cool.
Well, Danielle, is there anything that you wanted to say that we didn't cover, or maybe you could just kind of recap for people your books and your blog and anything else you want them to check out for you?
Yeah, I think we covered it all. Thanks for having me on. Again, my website is againstallgrain.com. If you want to read about my health story, you can click on the About Me. If you want to read about our recent loss of my daughter, Ayla, there's a slide on my homepage that's called Ayla's Story. So you can read about that. And then my first book is called Against All Grain. And my second book is called Against All Grain, Meals Made Simple. And those are available everywhere that Stacey and Sarah's books are. So when you're looking at theirs, you might see mine. But that's...
And feel free to pick up all of the above.
Right, exactly. They all kind of work hand in hand. And like, they're all great. Every book, everyone always asks me that. They're like, there's so many paleo books. I'm like, oh gosh, they all offer so many different things, you know? So, and then you can find me everywhere, Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and see little insights to my life, Against All Grain, all across the board.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I highly encourage everyone to check out Danielle and Danielle's recipes. And, obviously from what you've learned today, although you might like Sarah's pancakes, mine are awesome. You might like my granola. Danielle's is awesome. We all make delicious recipes that everyone should eat all the time. But we all definitely have specific things about our books. And I think, Danielle, your Meals Made Simple book is definitely an excellent resource for busy people. So having just written a 432-page cookbook on real life paleo, I can tell you that the tips and the recipes that you used in that are going to be really helpful for people. So congratulations on your new book. I hope to see you sometime as we cross paths with your tour. And
I know we're all going to be like flying past each other.
Exactly. Yeah, you said you were going to be in Minneapolis like the week before I was planning on being there, and I was like, oh, that sucks, I won't see her.
I know, and I hope that when I go to DC you're actually there and not gone,
because that would be awful. Yeah,
I know when I'm out in like the New York area, Diana's over on the West Coast, so I hope that's not the same with you guys.
All right. Well, I'm sure we'll be in touch and definitely probably see you at Paleo FX at least. So
yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks for tuning in to the Paleo View, and I hope that next week I'll be back a little more energized and able to get to give it my all.
Yeah, I hope there's no major catastrophes, as we talked about, between now and then. I think you're at the home stretch, so good luck.
Yeah, thanks.
Good luck. And I did have a chance to see a preview for everybody that's listening, and it's going to be amazing. So, yeah, you guys should be excited.
Thanks. Sarah?
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you for listening to The Paleo View. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment to rate us on iTunes. You can also support us by shopping for our favorite paleo products on the sidebars of our individual websites or by donating through PayPal.
Fair warning, my book goes to printer in less than 24 hours, so
no need to say anything more.
Yeah.